The second scripture reading for the morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Join me in prayer. So now in these moments, O God, in the work of your Spirit, knit our thoughts and lives together in your plan and purpose. Speak to us your word of truth and enable us to be recipients and bearers of the name of Christ and share that joy and work with others. For it's in Christ's most holy name that we pray. Amen. We find ourselves in our series, Letters to the Church by Francis Chan, in a chapter entitled Good Shepherds. Now, some of you may quickly check out because you think this is a chapter addressed only for pastors. Because Chan writes, I write this chapter to full-time, to bivocational pastors, and to many who are reading this, even those who, unbeknownst to you, are to be called to be shepherds to others. So maybe that's some of you. But Francis goes on to identify that God's most tender and honored speech has been reserved for spiritual leaders. And yet some of God's most condemning words were also used for that spiritual leadership. No one is called to be constantly fed, Chan said, without leading and feeding others. Turn around and look at your life, he suggests. If there's no one following you, something is wrong with your life. He goes on to say the church needs godly leaders. Contrary to popular belief, we are all called to be a pastor, a word that simply means shepherd. Such a weekend as I experienced this past occurred for our family in Portsmouth, Ohio. I was my brother's best man at his wedding. He was in the Air Force and had gone off for his training and returned back several years to find his high school sweetheart, who had also graduated from nursing school, and they were to be united together at the Episcopal Church in Portsmouth. That gathering was an opportunity for my brother to extend an invitation to the pastor at the time of our youth to come and return and be a part of that worship service in the Episcopal Church so that our family heritage and tradition could be remembered as well. Pastor Dick was the one that was responsible for bribing me with a chocolate milkshake to become the president of our youth group. He was the one that invited me to use your gifts as God's given you. Would you be a lay reader at the podium and share the scripture lessons and lead worship with me? To that I agreed. he said to me, would you like to go visiting with me someday? And sure enough, I was finding myself in places where I had never dreamt I could be and pray and hear the testimony of amazing Christian examples in the congregation in which I was growing in Christ Jesus. So Richard Ward and I found ourselves standing at the corner of that Episcopal church after all the weekend celebrations were done, after the reception was completed, and we were extending our farewells. I sort of get the sense of what it must have been like for Paul to write his letter to Timothy, remembering his tears. For we had wept at that final Sunday of his ministry at the church, and now again on that weekend, I was weeping a farewell. And he was trying to bolster my spirit. He looked at me and he said, I know, David, most of your plans that you had pretty well laid out have been turned upside down after recent events. But what I want you to remember, he said, is you love people. Let God use that. Because you see, I had already confessed to Pastor Ward several years before that I was on a plan that would mimic his call into ministry. He was a second career pastor, after all. He had raised and developed a very successful hardware store in his time and his life, and then he sold all of that, went back to seminary as an older adult, and received his call into the life of the church. And our congregation was the second in his series of appointments that he brought his teenage family and came and touched our lives with that grace. I thought that was the right way to enter ministry. He told me that I should really explore that invitation to pastoral work. And in a matter of a few weeks, I found myself in the office of my then pastor asking him to talk me out of that plan. At which Marvin Dowson said, if there's anything else in your whole life you can do, do it. But if you can't, God bless you and do it in his power. And after a couple more weeks, I found myself calling the district superintendent saying, I'm a licensed lay speaker in the life of the church, and I'm trying to discern a call. If there's a place I could preach or if I could be of service to you, let me know. And within a matter of a couple more weeks, a pastor in that district suffered a heart attack, and the superintendent called me and said, we've got this tiny little church at Franklin Furnace. They have about 13 people. And you could go out there and serve for 6 months while he recovers from his heart attack, and that would give you a chance. They only pay $20 a week. That'll buy your gas going and coming, but that's the best we can do. And I guess you can say the rest is history. 19 years of age saying yes to being a pastor in the church. A call that Chan suggests is a shepherding all of us in this church are called to do. If you've been in a pew, I would suggest, more than a couple months, this is your chapter. And this is your invitation to shepherd God's sheep. He identifies that for spiritual leaders, there are a whole series of traps that occur. Traps that identify an avoidance of criticism. A challenge to be a fundraiser. After all, that's why I went to seminary. He suggests that there are these things called comparisons that are a terrible trap. Meeting people's expectations and popularity, safety, and greed. Ultimately, he suggests, when you say yes to Christ, there is this demonic force that will seek every way to convince you you are not enough. And so we come to the text we heard at first this morning, Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of the way of life and imitate their faith. Timothy was told to imitate his grandmother's faith and his mother's faith and the faith that was equipping as Paul laid his hands on Timothy and commissioned him for the work of the church. To take on those three characteristics of power and love and self-discipline, as Paul writes to Timothy. Take a few moments and look back at what Chan has suggested, the characteristics of a pastor or spiritual layperson would be for the church. First and foremost, they'd be a Christian. They'd be praying. They'd be humble. They'd be loving. They'd be equipping. They'd be spirit-filled. They'd be missional. And they'd be suffering. Oh, it's easy for us to see people as projects that we want to fix rather than children we are to deeply love. If our primary goal as a church is to live into that unity which Christ prays for in John chapter 17, then it starts with leaders who love their people. Chan suggests we're supposed to be loving parents, not babysitters. Maybe you and I must take on that work of being a spiritual leader if we are truly to be the church God calls us to be. We must train God's people to be independently dependent on the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded us to reach to the ends of the earth. So let us pray that we become a generation of leaders whose hearts are breaking for the lost and the suffering. After all, Paul writes to Timothy and to us as spiritual leaders in Ephesians chapter 3, 20, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine." This verse must be for us the commitment to shape our lives, not just some catchy quote we paint on the wall or engrave on stationery. May God continue to raise up an army of good shepherds, people who love him above all else and live to make the church become everything God designed it to be. Again, some of you are hearing this chapter and are reading it thinking it must be for some other leader of the church than you, because you don't meet some special level of giftedness or formal training. But if godliness is what qualifies someone, then none of us have an excuse. In the power, in the love, and in the self-discipline, be those hands and feet of Christ that sets a godly example for all to watch and to keep. May God answer our prayers this day and anoint us to be the shepherds of his sheep. Amen.